Well, welcome everybody to the May Digging Deeper into DISC for our DISC practitioners. We're delighted that you can be with us as we will be showcasing our new relationship report during this call. So what I'd like to do is begin by giving this call over to the Lord. So let's begin with a prayer. Dear Lord, I give you thanks for this day. I thank you for strength, for life, and for health, and for the many, many blessings you give us. And this evening, Lord, I give you thanks for all those who have joined us tonight for this call. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to guide us and lead us in helping us to become more like you in all that we do. And Lord, we know that the DISC assessment is simply a tool that helps people to learn to love one another more and to understand and to care about each other in the way that you would have us do that. So we thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to have tools that would help us do that. So now, Lord, for all those who are on our call and those that couldn't be on our call, we just pray that you'd be with each and every one of these individuals and their families. And now, Lord, we give this call up to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So,
did someone else just join us?
Did somebody else?
Hi, Rich. This is Russ.
It's who? I'm sorry.
This is Russ.
Oh, hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Good. Thanks for joining us. So I hope you all either have the relationship report either up on your computer screen or you have printed a copy of it, because we'll be walking through that page by page. We're very excited about this new relationship report, as it's a sister report to the collaboration report, which was originally designed to be done between workmates. And we thought it would be just awesome to have a report that could more specifically be done between a man and a woman, more specifically a husband and a wife, or someone who is getting ready to be married. It can also certainly, any of our collaboration or our relationship report could be done between like a father and a son, or mother, daughter, cousins, that sort of thing. The whole idea behind the relationship report is to take two assessments, whether it's the biblical assessment or the DISC assessment, and then just run those reports side by side, and then each page shows a comparison. And then we also have our fill-in-the-blank pages in this report, which was also in our biblical DISC assessment. So, Rich, do you want to say anything else about that?
I think that's a good overview. Tell the group, Barbara, how they access this. How do they get a relationship report?
Okay. So when you go on your OASIS account, I don't necessarily have to do that right now, but right on the home page, there are five gold tabs to the right, and one says DISC collaboration, and that's the tab that we use to run a collaboration report, but it's also the same tab that we use to run a relationship. So you'll click on the DISC relationship tab. That takes you to a new page, and in the far right corner, it'll say generate relationship reports. So then you click on that tab, and you follow the same process. Basically, you're looking into your database for the two people that you want to run the relationship report on. You click on their names, and then it will generate two reports. So, for example, there would be a Rich report, and there would be a Barbara report. They're almost like 99.99 the same, but Rich's report will speak to Rich. It'll say, one of the sentences would say, Rich in working with Barbara. And then in my report, it would say, Barbara in working with Rich. But otherwise, page by page by page by page, they're very, very similar. And we'll point that out when we get to that on this report. So if you're in your OASIS, just remember to go to the DISC collaboration, and that will take you to the DISC relationship report. And then you run it the same way. And the tutorial is pretty much the same. If you're kind of getting locked up or not remembering how to use that, you can just look at your tutorials, or you can always call me, and I'm happy to walk you through that.
So at any time, jump in if anybody has a question. Maybe identify yourself and feel free. Any questions on how you run them?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
So this, go ahead.
I just said, okay, well then let's talk about the report.
This report was really a strong desire of Ken Vogus, our originator of Biblical Disc. In the collaboration report instance, the provider of our disc platform actually had that already done. And so we just tapped into what they had done to have a collaboration report for work colleagues. Ken Vogus, over the course of his career, as well as his use of Biblical Disc in his own church, has become really proficient in using this as a tool for premarital counseling, as well as working with some married couples to help them understand each other better. So Ken was very desirous of having this in our toolbox and also having it very much similar to some of the functions and features that are in the Biblical Disc. So what I'd like to do is just kind of start by walking you through the relationship report page by page. Barbara will do a little color commentary. There are several of the exercises we thought we'd have you actually do, and we'll do a little bit of reading some of our sentences to each other just to recall how that works. And certainly, again, willing to entertain questions at any time, so feel free to jump in. So the page two, of course, is just the table of contents page. Page three is the overview of the four basic disc styles. If I were actually counseling a couple or a soon-to-be couple as they were going through this and they didn't know much about disc, what I would do is perhaps focus on four or five of these areas and just kind of give them a sense of what a high D means, an I, an S, and a C. So, for example, if you've got a highlighter or circle, want to circle these on page three. To me, primary drive obviously is critical. I think personal strength as well as personal limitation could be good information. I would certainly want to know about personal wants of the style and personal fears. So if I'm kind of having to do a little teaching time on disc, I might just run people through those as a way of reminding them or orienting them to what DISC really means. So that's designed just to be a little bit of a teaching piece or page.
And
page four, yeah, go ahead.
Which we might also mention that that's page eight in the Biblical Disc Assessment. So they may have already seen this and been they're familiar with it before they get to their relationship report.
Great. Page number four is really where the relationship is shown one graph to another. So notice it's a page with three different graphs on it, and solid line and dotted line, or dashed line as we say here. So in this case, we've got Ben's sample and Meg's sample. And what we're showing is at the top on the left, the adapted behavioral style, on the right, the natural behavioral style. Again, this will look very familiar to them from their page seven of their Biblical Disc. Obviously, they've taken that, so they've probably seen that. The difference here is that we put the two graphs together. So notice here we got Ben, who's a high I with a secondary D, lower S and C, and then we have Meg, and I'm looking now at the adapted style. Meg is the high D above the midline, the S as well, and then the C is her highest style on her adapted style, and then you see the difference in the natural behavioral style. Once again, Ken Vogus was the push behind adding a graph at the bottom that's blank, and you might wonder, well, why do you have that? What Ken has told us that he likes to do is to give couples a chance to say, I think in this relationship I'm more like my natural style or more like my adapted style. So what he has them do, for example, Ben might say, well, I think in this relationship I'm more like my natural style. So Ben would take maybe a certain color marker and draw his graph at the bottom, or Ken would do that for them. And then Meg would say, well, I think I'm more like my adapted style. And so then she would draw hers. So you now have them kind of personalizing their graphs together. And then that's what we would use for the balance of the report in terms of helping them personalize the information. So notice right in the middle of that page, it gives instructions, review both your natural and adaptive graphs above, determine which graph best describes your core behavior, draw each of your graphs below and use it as the template in completing the exercises on pages 9 to 12. The other really cool thing you can do in a biblical application, if you have people of faith that you're working with on this, what Ken does is he actually draws a cross. So if you take your pencil and connect the midlines of the two graphs at the top, adapted and natural, just draw a horizontal line across those to connect those midlines. And then right down the center, draw a cross going down to the bottom graph.
Line.
And of course, I'm sorry, a line going down to the bottom graph. And that's where we snuck in the verse from Ecclesiastes, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And you can spend some time talking about with Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit working in your marriage, obviously, that's going to be a much better chance for successful marriage and relationship.
So, Rich, let's just stop here a second. If you were planning to have a meeting now with Ben and Meg, as you look at both their adapted and their natural, where do you see the biggest gaps in their two behavioral styles?
The I and the C.
Yep.
Very much so. So as you're preparing to work with this couple, you can right away see that there's going to be a big gap between I and C, and then where they are more similar. Their D's come together fairly close in the adapted, and S's aren't as big as a stretch, I think, as the I and C.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps you.
So when they walk in the room, you can kind of anticipate which one is going to be more talkative and which one is going to be sitting back thinking and assessing. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Very
good point. Answer. So then page 5 is an interesting page. This is, again, some information that's available now through our provider. And it looks at one of 16 what we call classical DISC behavioral patterns. So Ben's style, as you can see, is an influencer. That would be the I with the D coming up above the midline. Meg's is the fact finder, which is her high C with the secondary S. And so this page is interesting in just that it kind of gives an overview. There's a paragraph of information and then 9 bullets here that talk about emotional characteristics, what their goals are, how they value others, how they tend to influence others or a group, what's their value to the organization. By the way, that might be changed to value to the family. We're looking into if there's a way to make any language changes in this, but you could certainly easily just put in the word family there. What to watch out for, kind of areas that are struggle areas or things that they tend to do too much of. When under pressure, what happens, and then what are their fears? So I think these would just be a good overview page. What we find very often when we have these what we call bullet pages is just have people do a plus minus question mark. And then depending on how much time you have with a couple, you might have them say, do you agree? Do you disagree? Is there anything you're not sure about? And it can lead to some pretty good discussion.
Hey, Rich, this is Suzanne.
Yeah.
While you were talking, I was actually thinking, how about value to the relationship?
Yes.
That's even better.
And how about influences family?
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you, Suzanne.
Welcome.
So pages 5, 6, and 7, if you were on our call a couple of months ago and we talked about the collaboration report, are very similar to the collaboration report in the sense that you've got this kind of overview page, the classical disc page on five, and then six and seven are the strengths of each person and the struggles of each person. Again, I think there could be some great insights just by having people identify maybe two or three of their greatest strengths and then a couple of their struggles and just having them share that with each other. One of the things we'll point out when we get to the action page at the end is that we really ask them to take some time to write down how can you capitalize on the strengths of each person and how can the partner help with the struggle. Because of Ben's strength, he might be able to help Meg with one of her struggles. So by identifying that, it really creates a plan for people as they think about their relationship.
So if you
look, I am dirt. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah, if you look on page 7, where it talks about the struggles of Ben versus struggles of Meg, the instructions there are really clear of what they're to do. And in many cases, you will have them read through this report before they even come together with you. So if you look at maybe that second or third sentence, it's I am on page 7. It's best if they read through their list and identify the one or two struggles which they are having the most difficulty. Then they can look back at their strengths page and see if they have a strength that might help their partner overcome or minimize a struggle. So as their coach or consultant or counselor, you can use this, the instructions that are right in the assessment, to pull out different ways of debriefing this report with them.
One of my favorite pages is page 8, the communication plans. And as you recall from Biblical Disc, your assessment report, this shows both the do's and the don'ts with each person. So there's some examples here when communicating with Ben do and with communicating with Ben don't. And then the same for Meg. So Barbara, if you were Meg and I was Ben, let's just do a couple of things that we might suggest that we do and don't with each other.
Okay. So if
you get
I
to
was,
go first.
Okay. So, well, Ben, when you communicate with me, I think it's very important that you provide logical and practical evidence, or I would say information. When we're trying to make decisions about things, it's important to me that I have information and evidence that I need to make decisions. And secondly, I like it when you, that there aren't going to be any surprises. So it's important to me that there's no things that are hidden in the bushes here. It's very important to me that you assure me that there won't be any surprises in our relationship.
Couple of the do's for me would be the third bullet down, be specific about what's needed and who's going to do it. And then the second to the last bullet, provide immediate incentives for my willingness to help on the project. So what's in it for me?
Like me to give you those little gifts, huh?
Yes. How about your don'ts?
Well, I think probably the biggest don't for me is don't push too hard. I don't like to be pushed or in any way hurried into making decisions or doing things. So it's not good when I get pushed. And probably the other one would be rushing issues. Same thing. I don't like when we have to push things and make fast decisions.
Thank you. My don'ts would be the first bullet, ask rhetorical or useless questions. Sometimes you need so much information, and that can be difficult for me. And then the second to the last one, I don't like it when decisions are left hanging in the air. So I like to make sure we've reached closure and we have an action plan. So this would just be an example again of how if you are counseling someone, you just ask them to start this conversation. You might throw in a question here or there, but it just creates some great tips and action plans for people in terms of how to communicate with each other.
And what I like to do, if I'm taking a couple through this, after they share their dues, I'll stop there and I'll say, so what did you hear? What did you hear? Was there anything, was there new information to you as you heard your spouse or your partner share some things? And so you let them dialogue a little bit about that. And then I would do the don'ts, do the same thing, let them share the one, two, or three bullets that are most, and then again, what was new information? Was there anything that surprised you? You want to get them dialoguing and sharing even further, because the real learning comes is if I learn something new about Rich that I didn't know before, I really have to take note of that and remember it, and then what does that mean to me? So you really want to let them dig into those do's and don'ts.
What comments or questions do you have about any of the bullet pages?
I did hear one thing that Rich did that's a really good practice is after Barb shared, he said thank you, and he didn't counter back. And I think that sometimes you have to tell couples, you know, this is not, we're not discussing this as far as diagnosing each other. We're just thanking each other for sharing information.
I appreciate that.
One other thought would be to ask them, how good are they at receiving feedback from one another?
Oh, I like that. Because that's really what they're doing here, really, throughout, aren't they?
Yes.
Thank
There's
you,
this phrase, that feedback is a gift. Is that true to both of you?
Yes. To ask that question and then get them thinking that way.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, just for fun, I wanted to remind us how we do the fill-in-the-blank pages. Again, this is a new feature of any of the reports that we have had access to. Of course, it is in both Biblical Disc and Regular Disc, so it won't be new for people. But we really encourage the couple, both the male and the female, to take time to fill this out in advance of a counseling session. Obviously here you could have a whole lot of dead time if you did it, you know, as you're with them, and if you're getting paid to do this, I guess you could get paid for having them sit and figure this out, but I think the goal would be to have them filled out in advance. Just a reminder of how these pages work, and we'll start with page 9, understanding your task style. So let's go back and look on page 4 at Ben's natural behavior. Let's say Ben has chosen his natural behavior and his relationship with Meg for the purposes of this discussion. Which two styles are going to be above the midline for Ben?
The D and the I.
Okay. So on page 9, I am then going to circle that entire block of D words above the midline, challenging, decisive, problem solver, and too direct. I'm also going to circle that entire block of I words for Ben above the midline. And then for the S and C, I'll circle the entire block of words below the midline for Ben.
Rich, quick question. You talked
Please.
About on page 4, their view of the graph, would that be the one you would use for these exercises or just their natural? Or?
Thank you. Yes, I would typically go to the bottom graph, Susan, and use whatever
okay.
they chose there. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. So just for fun,
thanks,
I know
Susan,
that...
Yeah, thanks, Susan, for asking that because I was going to ask as well.
You're welcome.
You guys think so much alike. So just for fun, this will be 90 seconds of dead time, but do yourself just on this page, and then I'd love to have each of you read back your understanding your task style. So what you're doing now is you're circling your sets of words there, and then at the bottom, define your task style by writing it as a high blank and low blank. I blend, I prefer, and then just use the words that come from those boxes up above. So take a minute or two, let us know if you have a question.
Did I lose you?
We're here.
Okay, it's so quiet.
I'm here.
So raise your hand. Raise your hand when you're done. So who'd like to start?
Hang on, I'm not finished.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, hang on.
Sing to us, Rich.
What's that?
You could sing to us.
I could. That would really be distracting. So, Barbara, why don't you start?
Okay, I will. As a high I C and a low D, I prefer tasks that are people related. My work style tends to be interactive. My strengths are being a encourager. Regarding my limitations, I tend to be too, and probably too, I'll say disorganized. Therefore, I need a high D and a low S on my team or in my life.
So once again, if we were using this to counsel, we might say, if that was Meg reading that, Ben, what did you hear? Was there anything new there? Anything that you'd like to ask a question about? So it can lead to some great conversation. Susan, what did you write?
Mine was preferred style. Oh, I'm a high ID, low CS. Preferred style would be challenging and unorthodox. Work style would be decisive and instinctive. Limitations would be, strengths would be next. Problem solver probably would be the main one. And then the limitation would be too direct and too disorganized. So I definitely need a high C and a low I.
Okay. Do you know anyone like that in your life?
Yes.
That's good. Thank you. How about you, Bruce?
Well, I'm as a high IC or a low DS, I prefer tasks that are people related. And my work style is very interactive, but also traditional. My strengths are being an encourager and an organizer. And I tend to be too indirect at times and sometimes indecisive. Therefore, I need a high D or a low C on my team.
Very well said. Thank you. Suzanne?
Okay, as a high DI and a low CS, I prefer tasks that are challenging. My work style tends to be interactive. My strengths are being a problem solver. Regarding my limitations, I tend to be too intense and direct. Therefore, I need a high S and low I on my team or in my life.
Thank you. And how about Ron?
Let's see. As a high ID, low SC blend, I prefer tasks that are interactive. My work style tends to be people-related and challenging. My strengths are being an encourager and problem solver. Regarding my limitations, I tend to be too reactive and non-traditional. Therefore, I need a high C, low I blend on my team or in my life.
All right. I was thinking this was Ron. That sounded like Russ.
Yeah,
this is Russ.
I'm sorry, Russ. Forgive me. I heard Ron.
I've been called worse things, Rich. Trust me.
Okay. Well, this just gives you a sense. Now, obviously, in a relationship counseling setting, you would have the Ken says he always lets the lady start. So the woman would read hers to the man. Again, maybe ask a question or two, discuss it a little bit. Then the man would read his to the woman. And just process it. Ask a few questions. Ken likes this order. In other words, on page 9, start with task style, because that's just kind of a little bit less threatening, perhaps, and a way to kind of break into doing this. And then notice you go to communication style. You're going to get in just a little bit deeper there. So, for example, notice on communication style, you're looking at their wants, their actions, how they tend to act, and their fear response. I made a note of this. You might want to do this as well. Their act and fear response, these are observable behaviors, but what undergirds those, what motivates those, is the want and the fear. So the want and the fear are hidden, but the observable behaviors are the action and the fear response. And the note that I wrote down here, when a want is not met, it will usually lead to fear. And therefore, that's when that fear response can rear its ugly head.
Hmm.
So notice you're going from the relational to the communication, page 11, then even more in depth, because you're really now getting into what happens in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end it with just the relational style per se, how they relate to each other. So this would be, again, pretty much a process. Hopefully you've got people having this filled out. They would come prepared, and then as you get to these pages, just have them read them to each other, process through them, ask some good questions. I like Barbara's statement, what did you hear? Let the other person kind of repeat back, which often leads to clarification. Maybe ask a few questions.
And I especially like what Bruce said, to just continue to reinforce that feedback is a gift.
Hmm.
Are there any questions on those fill-in-the-blank pages? Those, of course, are also in your biblical disc, so it's something that if they've already done that, they may have completed this, but now you're really asking them to focus on their relationship with each other when they do this.
Just a note that I had written on page 12, too, while you're thinking of any other questions, when you're looking at, page 11, negotiating style in resolving conflict. If you don't catch people's tension points, if you don't understand your partner's tension points, then it can lead to the conflict. So that's why it's so important to understand what creates tension for your partner, because if you can, you know, somehow mitigate that, you're going to hopefully avoid the conflict.
So recognizing nonverbals would be really important. That's not on this page.
I think absolutely, yes. Because often that... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, this may be a good point to refer them back to the page where they talked about their struggles and how my strength may help you with a struggle.
Great.
So recognizing the tension before it becomes conflict may avert the conflict.
I love it.
A couple hours on this, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the big challenges is how much time would you spend? I'm trying to remember if we heard from Ken. Did I say this? Nobody in his church gets married without going through at least an hour with Ken on this relationship report. So.
Well, don't you think, Rich, if they had completed this assignment prior to coming to the session with you, it would cut the time down considerably?
Of course.
Yep.
So just to keep things moving here, I'm cognizant of our clock. Page 13, then, this again looks familiar. This was in the biblical disc as well as the regular disc. It's really a great, what I call a cheat sheet. So what are the three R's of disc relationships, which is how do you respond to, relate to, and reinforce this person? So maybe, again, just for fun, let's take 60 seconds. As you look through your highest style, the box for your highest style, if you could pick one bullet in each of those three areas, respond to, relate to, and reinforce. Go ahead and do that, and we'll have you each share that. Raise your hand when you're done.
Okay, the high D's ready.
You start us off, Suzanne.
All right, so for me, responding to me, please focus on actions and goals. Where are we going? How are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? When you relate to me, be brief and to the point, and then get out of my way.
All right.
Wow.
You get to choose who's next.
My friend, where's Miss Susan?
Right next to you. So mine would be the high I, and so how to respond. I would choose the one that's the who responses, give who responses. Really important for me to know who said what. And how to relate, I would say allow time to verbalize feelings. And how to reinforce would be the first one, offer positive encouragement and incentives for taking on tasks. It's all about the reward.
There you go. Russ, I know you've got some eye in there. What would you say?
I would say, let's see, for respond, it would be focus on relationships and fun activities. For the relate, helping transfer talk to an action plan. And then to actually just follow up on that for reinforcing, help them organize an action plan.
Great. I'll do the S since that's my core style. My respond would be keep your tone non-threatening and patient. To relate to me, give me time to process information. Barbara knows that I don't make decisions quickly. Would drive you high D's crazy. And to reinforce me, provide hands-on reinforcement. And Bruce, I bet you could do the C for us.
Sure.
Did you do I also?
I did both, but I'll go with the C just for fun.
Okay.
For me, focus on patiently answering questions. Mix data with assurances. Because I'm relational, provide reassurances of support.
Great. So this is just a great sheet again to, you know, I love to use it as a way of just having available to think about how do I respond, relate, and reinforce the different styles. but again, important for a couple to just kind of talk through, and that leads to the action plan.
Just wanted to make one comment on those three R's. It's not uncommon sometimes for a person to have two points above the midline that are very close to each other. So they may want to share two of their styles. So if you've got someone who's equally a D and an I, you might say, well, feel free to share both from your D and your I, because you're all about trying to get more information about your partner. So I love this page. It's just a great way to even encourage more dialogue between the couples as they share this information. And then, as Rich referred to, page 14, the action plan, this is where it all comes together, of course, and this is something that they can work on with you as you're together. It's something, if you're going to meet with them twice, you might ask them to do a little homework and then come back and share what they've learned about each other. But you can see that there's great, great exercise. So they start off partner one, so I might be, so partner one could be Barbara, partner two would be Rich, and then at the bottom, Rich to Barbara. And then we each fill these out, and then we share them again. So they're referring back, of course, into their relationship profile, looking at those, and then bringing it together. But it's really now for them, they're focusing now on the other person. So I would say to Rich, I appreciate your strengths of patience and your ability to stay on a task and until the completion, or, and I can help you with your struggles by, so we're going back to those pages and sharing. This is really where it all comes together for them. Any questions on page 14?
So just to understand, I would have, like, Mark and Susan, Susan would do the top section, her to Mark, and then as Mark is sharing his feedback, I would be filling out the bottom section. Is that correct?
Yes, it would be, you know, as you're filling out, let's say you're partner one and Mark is partner two.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're filling out the top part, you're actually looking at his information, Susan, on page six. What are some of his strengths? So you put down several, yeah. And then he's filling out the bottom on what he reads about you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is a little bit confusing because you're kind of switching gears here. You're actually reading your partner's information to fill this in.
But we have workbooks. The parents have workbooks like that where you kind of, after you've answered your part, then you look at their answers and kind of see.
Yep.
So.
By the way, if any of you are into relationship work, that's a great resource, right, Susan? The Mark and Leslie Parrott.
Yes, the Les and Leslie Parrott, or that's what we use for our premarital stuff. Very good.
They're great.
Yeah, saving your marriage before it starts.
Yes,
there you
exactly.
Go.
Which is approved by the state of Texas, by the way, so it's good.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
That's our go-to engagement gift for every couple that we hear about.
Oh, fantastic.
Great
that's
stuff.
That's too. Yeah, it's good.
Well, that's our report, folks. Would love to entertain comments, questions. What do you think of this? Can you see uses for it?
Yeah, sure. I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like
definitely.
It.
Definitely. As with most things, the beauty is in the sitting down and discussing. I mean, the information is great, but unless it's discussed and debated and dialogued and then put into practice, it's just information.
Mm-hmm.
So Rich and Barbara, I have a question about the, like, logistics, the processing and the time. You know, I heard Rich say, you know, nobody can get married at Ken's church unless they sit down for at least for an hour with them. How long is enough time? You know, I'm coaching a team of folks right now, and I kind of broke the report their DISC reports into pages 1 through 9, and that was an hour. 9 through 16 was an hour. 17 to 24 is an hour. 25 to 41 is about an hour. But do you spend the depth of time on the report with just two people? I'm sure it's a little more efficient going through it with a team of two rather than a team of seven or eight or ten. So how do they go about using this process, and what time is given to just the DISC piece?
Because I have not done counseling with this, I'm probably not the best one to answer. I certainly would not do any less than an hour, Suzanne. I think the key pages really would be the fill-in-the-blank pages where you're really digging into understanding, really personally, the communication, task, relationship, and conflict style of your partner. Certainly the bullet pages also add information to that. And then, I mean, the action plan is just in and of itself, having them fill that out. I think that what I would probably do is spend the full hour in the report. If I was going to do a follow-up, I'd have them write out action plans. And then when they got back together, then read those to each other. But I don't know. I'd love to hear feedback from any others who might have done this kind of work or what your thoughts are. Susan, how would you see using it?
We haven't done any of these yet, but I could see that the hardest part would be getting them to do it before they came.
Yep.
That would be the hard part.
Yeah.
So if you have to do that, I think it would almost have to be multiple sessions if you really wanted to do the whole DISC, because I think people will only give you about an hour and a half. And I think in an hour and a half you could get through the graphs in maybe one exercise. And then, you know, meet again. I mean, that's just my thought. And kind of going with what I've been doing with teams at work, it's like you have to go over the DISC first. That takes about an hour and a half or a couple hours, and then have another
right.
meeting later just for the groups.
I see it as more than one session. There's got to be like an introduction. If they don't know about DISC at all, there's a piece of that has to be introduced, and you might be able to get pages 1 to 16 in one session and 17 to 41 in the other, and then, you know, use this the relationship report as well. I'm looking to start something like this in our church and then a couple of other churches in my community, and I'm trying to formulate how to sell the process, you know, in terms of if somebody asks, well, how long will this take? I don't know what to tell them right now. And so maybe 1 to 3 hours of folks' time, perhaps, is a good range.
Yeah, I think if I were kind of going to push back a little bit. I'm not sure people would have to totally understand the DISC model in order to get great benefit from this report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So certainly there might be times when I would want to spend time teaching them about DISC. But I think, you know, you could sit down and help people understand a lot about each other just from the verbiage here without a full understanding of what does DISC mean. But even in that case, I think there's no question that a couple of sessions would probably work best.
Okay.
But I think they really get the overview of the four basic DISC styles on that page 3, and you can spend a little time there talking about DISC. And especially if someone has 2 points above the midline, then it really gives you a chance to do a little bit of DISC teaching there. But I agree with I don't think you need a lot. And I also agree that you would really want to have more than one session, because it's in the follow-up. Now that I know this about you, a week or 2 weeks or even a month later, what have you been doing as a result of knowing this about each other? What's been interesting? Have there been any challenges or so forth? because otherwise it's, you don't want it to be a one and done. You want them to really, you know, internalize this and remember what they learned about each other.
Right, and maybe, go ahead.
I'm fine, go ahead.
Well, I really, really like the sentence formats, the four pages with the boxes at the bottom where they formulate sentences. And perhaps what you could do is introduce that and practice one in one session and then send them off to fill in the blanks for the other three and then come back again and do the others and just do it as a building kind of exercise.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like it that it's not teaching, it's more relational. That it does give enough structure for a session, but in a way, they have enough information in their hands to start talking. And it actually, the role of the coach or the counselor in this case is just to draw it out. It's not a leap to be able to do it.
Right.
Good.
Well, gang, this has been wonderful. We're pushing our full hour here. We will hang on, but we're going to probably go ahead and turn off the recording. And then if you have any further comments or questions, we'd love to entertain those.
And go ahead and stop the recording now.